and welcome to the Happy Horror Time podcast. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmerd, and what a treat we have in store today for fans of the original Sleepaway Camp. She played M.E.G. Meg, everyone's favorite counselor in the original film. So please welcome to the podcast, Catherine Comey.
Woo! Thank you, guys.
Yay! Hi, Catherine. It is such a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here and see you, even over Zoom. It's so nice.
I know, but yes, we just have to say for our listeners, even though you're only hearing this, Catherine looks phenomenal.
Bold and beautiful.
Yes, she looks great. So I wish you can, but we'll have to take a screenshot or something at the end. But, you know, before we jump right into MEG, our favorite counselor, I read on Wikipedia that at age 11, you performed as a ballet dancer at the Metropolitan Opera House.
I did. Yes, I was a ballerina.
Wow. How did that come to be?
Well, my mom was a pianist and she was a child prodigy and then played concerts up until she was in her 20s and then began playing for ballet classes and accompanying classes and rehearsals and Broadway shows. And so she threw me into class at the age of 7-8 years old. And then the Bolshoi Ballet was coming to town. I was a very serious ballerina and they needed a bunch of kids. And I went and I auditioned and I was one of the 12 they picked. You know, it had to do not only your technique, but I think size as well. We had to all sort of be a similar size. And yeah. And then I performed with the Stuttgart Ballet after that there as well at the Met. So that was quite an experience for an 11-year-old.
What? Yeah. And now how did that lead into acting? Because versus pursuing dance, you know, professionally.
That's funny because no one has actually ever asked me that. And so I really appreciate that question because it's a good story. Okay, so there was a girl who was there and she was an actress and a dancer and her name is going to escape me right now.
Leah Thompson.
Felicity. She was an actress. She was actually on the first season of Facts of Life.
Oh, Jamie Gertz?
Not Jamie Gertz. No, but her name was Felicia or Felicity or...
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about.
I was going to say, Facts of Life is Tim's territory.
I love the Facts of Life, but...
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yes. Black hair, green eyes, beautiful. Yes. Really pretty. And I don't think she did much after that, but she had been a child actress and she was telling me about all the commercial auditions she was going on and all. And I was like, oh, I really want to do that. I could do that. And so she gave me the name of her manager at the time. And unbeknownst to my parents, I called, because you know, growing up in New York, you take taxis by yourself at 11, you're on the bus. And I mean, I was going back and forth to the Met by myself on you know, my mom gave me $5 taxi fare, you know, to come home at night. And so I called the manager up and she said, okay, do you want to come for an interview? In those days, it was a little bit easier. And I took a taxi by myself. She lived not far from me and I interviewed her and she gave me something to read and somehow I read it and she signed me. And she said, well, we need your parents. So I said to my mom, guess what? I got a manager and I'm going to be an actress. And that was it.
What was your mom's reaction?
She said, great. Okay.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
I expected that might happen.
Well, no, but that's great because a lot of people, I feel like we've interviewed other people who started, whether it was in, you know, theater is obviously is a very common one. Some dancers, it's all creative arts. It all kind of leads to the same path, but that's really cool. And now I need to know that name.
I will look it up, but I know exactly who you're talking about. She's got long black hair.
It's like Felicia or Felicity or something. And she was really nice and beautiful. And I was so in awe of her, you know, because I saw her on commercials.
Yeah, she was in the first season before they cut it down to the four girls.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Again, you just hit. And speaking of Tim's specialty.
Oh, my gosh.
Moving on to, so I think your first on-screen role was on the soap opera All My Children. Is that correct?
Yes, I'd done a lot of theater in New York. I did a lot of theater and stuff. And I had screen tested for the role of Cassie on One Life to Live, the original Cassie, and didn't get that, but they recommended me to All My Children. I was about 16 at the time and I auditioned and then it was only supposed to be a few days. And then they kept adding, and then they signed me to a contract. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then later you were in Guiding Light. I mean, obviously been on, that's two soap operas. Yeah. What was it like being on? So the schedule, what was that like?
I mean, what a learning experience. I lived on 79th Street in Manhattan and we shot on 67th Street at the ABC studios. So the guy who played my lover in the show, Mark, He lived across the street from me. So we'd walk to work together, and it was incredible. And then after that, Guiding Light for 4 years. And then actually when I came to LA, I actually did a few months on General Hospital and a few weeks on Young and the Restless. So,
oh my gosh.
You did the circuit of soap operas.
What was the craziest storyline?
For your character on any?
Probably General Hospital. My husband, I was pregnant and we had no health insurance. So we went to the hospital to try to get me treated and they wouldn't. And he had strapped a bomb to himself. And so he said he was going to blow up the hospital unless they treated me. So, that's pretty good.
And we've had a lot of people we've interviewed that start in soap operas, and so I love asking that question because I mean, everything on soap operas is crazy. It's just like I love, it's like, oh, I played a murderer's sister for that's amazing. Well, then of course came the most pivotal role in your career. Yeah. And I don't mean Meg in Sleepaway Camp. I'm talking about Becky in the 1981 CBS Afternoon Playhouse special, Portrait of a Teenage Shoplifter.
Oh, yes. Yes.
This to me is my favorite because happy 40th on this, because no joke, this movie had such an effect on me. It scared me not to do anything because whatever you do, everyone please watch Portrait of a Teenage Shoplifter. It's on YouTube. I saw it like 5 times. I don't know if you remember, but they re-showed it on HBO like 100 times.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, saw it so many times as a kid. And your role in particular had an effect on me because you did not steal. You told the girls, you warned the girls.
Oh, yes.
So what do you remember? My question is, because this is just a little segment just for me. Matt, you know, it's about four movies. Yes.
Forget right now. It's me and you, Tim.
Okay, I need to. These are my questions.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to any of the ladies from the Portrait of a Teenage Shoplifter?
Not really. No.
Like Maureen TV. Did you see her in Grease too?
I did. She was so good. And then we did Fame together. I had a small part in Fame. Most of it got cut out, but yeah. But so yeah, I had known her from that as well.
Okay, because I loved Grease too. You were my favorite one in the movie. I know it was an hour-long special, but it had a heavy rotation on HBO. So
I didn't know that.
It's on me not to ever shoplift or do anything.
Oh, totally.
It's funny. I was just going to say, Tim told me about this. I hadn't heard of it. I'm sorry. Yeah. I watched it on YouTube and they were trying to hit kids over the head with morals. I mean, this poor girl, it was your friend and you were the nice one, which is great. Like you're the don't steal, don't do this. But the girl who shoplifts, they make it like she committed grand theft auto.
She got strip searched.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I have to look up who the casting director was because I believe it was the same one for The Godfather. His name was Lou DiGiamo. And he was, and he always would try to cast me and stuff. And he was so intense when you auditioned for him. If it's that who it was, he sat like within inches of you and you had to look him dead in the eye. And that's how he weeded out the bad actors. You know, if they couldn't do it and you didn't come in with it memorized and you were gone. And he was so intimidating, but nothing intimidated me when I was auditioning, you know, when you're a teenager, you know, nothing bothered me. Nothing worried me. So I do remember that. And I also remember doing a Page 6 and I have it, I'll show it to you later. It's a huge page of me and with my publicist that set it up, and I'm wearing red cowboy boots and slipping a necklace into the boots, and it's promoting Portrait of a Teenage Shoplifter. I'll have to show you. I have it.
Please, we would love to see that. That's so funny. They were advertising you as like one of the bad.
I know. So I don't know.
And I love, I'm even saying bad kids. Look, I no way am I condoning shoplifting,
they
of course,
but it's
like, literally it was like, hey kids, if you shoplift, your life is over.
That's what it, honestly, that was my takeaway.
Yeah. And wasn't Laura Dean in that as well? Yeah, Laura and I are actually friends on Facebook. We went to performing arts together, the high school performing arts, the Fame school together. And so she and I actually stayed friends, kind of lost contact, but now we're friends on Facebook again, so.
You're friends with the shoplifter.
I am. You know.
It's, yeah, It's incredible. We had to mention that. And Tim, yeah. like I said, was saying, like, it's like those things that just have like an impact on your life. Yeah. And it definitely, oh, who's the little doggy?
That's my little dog. That's Elle. She's scratching to get up. So.
Oh, hi, Elle. We're looking at the cutest little dog right now.
I have a St. Bernard and an Irish Wolfhound. I'm a big rescuer. So.
Oh, I love dogs.
That's great.
I watch dogs. So.
Well,
oh, good to know.
Yeah, dogs there. Let me know.
Ooh.
So we're just gonna keep
all
this
your
one going.
Belongings are safe.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, Tim, I might hit you up if you have it too. Good.
Well, so moving on, are we ready to move on?
Yes, we're good. We're good. Shoplifting over.
I wanted Tim to have his moment with that because it did have it. But moving on to obviously Sleepaway Camp. So that was your first role in a movie, right?
Yeah, that was my first role. I had done some extra work and stuff growing up on various movies, but that was my first, movie. Yeah.
What was the audition process like? And what did they tell you about the role of Meg when you were auditioning?
Yeah, nothing. It was all improv. We did for the first audition, no script. And I had never gotten anything like that before. And I didn't really, I mean, I guess I knew how to improv. I wasn't, you know, I kind of did. And he said, I just went in and he said, you're going to be an army sergeant and you're the meanest army sergeant around. And I want you to yell at the soldiers and really get them to do sit-ups and push-ups and everything. So that was my scene. We did it as many times as I did it. He wanted more, get meaner, get louder, get angrier, just all improv.
Wow.
That's ask a team.
No, but that's actually, I feel like that'd be kind of fun to do as an audition just
it
because.
It was, yeah.
I mean, I did theater in college and it's like you're always reading sides and you're so like, you know, you don't know anything about it. It's like sometimes, I don't know, I find improv can be fun because especially if you're just having to be like that one, you know, really big emotion, it can be kind of fun to take that out. But wow, what was your reaction when you first read the full script, especially like to
that
the end,
ending.
The big ending reveal?
Yeah, I don't think I got that last page till we were up at the camp and we had to sign non-disclosure agreements and stuff. And then I was kind of, you know, who's not blown away? I mean, what? And then it took me a minute, you know, to really go, what? Wait a minute, what? Because reading it is different than seeing it, you know, as they're describing everything. And so it really took me a second, but yeah, I was kind of blown away. It was pretty intense.
Did you like horror films prior or, I mean,
not really. Not really. No, I was scared. My brothers would drag me to them. I had two older brothers and they would drag me to them. And I just, you know, was not a huge fan, but became a fan after. Now, of course, I love them. Right. Love them.
And it's totally fine. Like, I mean, a lot of people, sometimes it's like it takes time to appreciate them or like you have been in them. But like for Tim and I, starting at age, I don't know, have loved horror movies.
So I know we're crazy. Felissa said that you showed up on the first day in a limo. Is that true?
Oh my God, I'm going to kill her.
You have to tell us. Oh, we did. Yeah, we interviewed her.
Story. She's her favorite story. Well, I was doing all my children at the time and I had to get permission to do this film. And they worked out the schedule and ABC was kind enough to send me there and pick me up in a limo when I had to come back and film. And so I did show up in a limo because they sent me, you know, because then I had to film a couple of days and then come back. So they'd come pick me up and go back to the city to film. And so I guess I was a little pretentious at first when I got there, but I tried really hard to let everyone know it's not me. They just did this.
You deserved it.
I love it.
Oh, I love you.
What would have been hilarious if you got out of the limo in character and was like, okay, everyone.
Totally. Totally.
So, that's incredible. Yeah, we got some good stories from Felissa talking about, especially being at such a young age, you know, her being in it. But so we got to mention our two favorite Meg moments in the movie. Okay. Okay, first off, the line, if she were any quieter, she'd be dead, when referring to Angela was classic, obviously. And then, so when she goes nuts and starts shaking Angela, saying, God damn it, answer me, before throwing her in the lake, I was just, I guess my question is, how did you approach playing such a villainous character?
I mean, I was playing sort of a bitch on the soap, and it was not like this though. And so he just, I really didn't get his vision at the time, but I trust the director you're working with. And I totally trusted Robert. And it was more just, he kept saying bigger, bigger. And I hadn't you know, my acting is usually very natural. That's sort of where my comfort zone is doing things very naturally, but this was more like theater. So I thought, okay, wait a minute, I'm a theater actress. I can do this. I see what he wants, whatever reason he wants it, I'm going to give it to him. So he just kept saying more, more, bigger, bigger. And he had a vision, you know, you just got to trust your director sometimes.
I love it because and it's funny because especially the way it's written and directed, she's a counselor and doing this to a camper, which is I'm wondering and there's so many times when other counselors and people find you and they're just like, hey, Meg, lay off. But nobody's reporting you, you know?
I know. But, you know, when you think about it, I don't know if the Christy McNichol, Tatum O'Neill movie Little Darlings was out around the same time or
1980.
Oh. Right. So I remember too, it's one of my favorite movies. I loved it. And I feel like you could kind of get away with, you know, stuff at camp somehow.
Yeah. They're kind of in the same vein where kids were kids. There was nothing glossy. They weren't
abuse, anything goes.
No, not that part. But I mean, just the fact that like you were on soap, so you were probably the most glossy and you know, gorgeous. But was there, you know what I'm saying? But the rest were kids.
They were all beginners. Yeah, they were all sort of, a lot of them, Chris Collet, I think it was one of his first jobs, you know? And so, it was a lot of people's first jobs, except of course, you know, Mel.
So what was your actual relationship like with the other cast members? Like any fun stories from the set? Cause I know, I think, I've heard Felicit said that you and that you guys were close on the set. It was so different than the actual relationship, obviously.
Very close. I was very protective of her. I mean, she's literally like a sister to me now. I love her so much. If you haven't met Felicit, if anybody, I know you guys have, but if anybody out there has not met her, you want to go to a con and meet her. It'll be the most warm, loving experience you ever have with a celebrity. She is just the kindest. She will talk to you for half an hour. And if people are waiting, they get it. You wait, you know, she was like that as a little girl too. You know, I met her, she was 13 years old, 12, 13, 14 years old. And she was just lovely. And I felt very protective, but she was so gung-ho and game, like throw me in the lake, Catherine, pick me up, do it. It's okay. I was like, I don't want to hurt you, you know, but I was so worried about, you know, offending her, but she was good to go. She was good to go. Yeah. And then I dated a couple of guys at the time. You know, we were all 17, 18 years old. Yeah. So a couple of the guys on the show, we dated a bit and we'd hang out and, you know, go bowling.
You jumped into our next question because Felicit told us about her little romance with Jonathan Tiersten doing it. Yeah. But I read that you were dating your co-star Thomas E. Vandell, who played Mike during filming. Now, I guess my question, so was love in the air on the set of Sleepaway Camp?
You know, summer camp, you're away from your parents, you know, because this is the first time away from my parents, really, because I was 18. I just turned 18, so I didn't have a parent on the set. I don't remember. I mean, the younger kids did, but little makeout sessions here and there. You know?
he was a total cutie. And I think he survives the movie, actually, I think. Yeah. He's one of the only guys who doesn't get killed.
Yeah, and he and I are friends still today. So there you go.
Gosh, that's really... Yeah. Now, another thing that we have to ask in the plot, and this, I really want to hear how the director explained this, but what in the holy hell did Meg see in Mel, the camp owner? Because he was about 40 years older, I'd say. And I guess as an 18-year-old, were you a little creeped out reading that? You could be totally honest.
Listen to me. Those lips. Come on. Mel, the lips. Come on. Who's not going to go for that? You know?
He's a looker.
And the cigar smell? I mean, you know.
Romance.
Yeah. What? How did they explain that to you?
I feel like on the soap, I seduced my college professor on the soap, who was so I was like, okay, this is a little older. It's a stretch, but I guess this is the way I'm going to get cast. My rationalization was that Meg was all about power, and he was the most powerful person in that camp, so she was going to be with him and align with him. That's all I can gather from that.
No, that makes sense. And just a side note, I just want to say Mel, he was so expertly played by Mike Kellen, who sadly passed away right after filming Sleepaway Camp before the movie was released, which is really sad. But he was great in the role. So it's just unfortunate, when something like that happens and someone puts so much time into and doesn't get to see the finished product, you know?
Yeah,
A totally a good rationalization. That I think would make sense more than just like, hey, she's into older guys.
Meg wanted power.
Meg wanted power. She knew she was going to, you know, she was going to have it with him.
Well, and getting, and then we get to poor Meg getting her comeuppance, I guess. I'd say that Meg probably has one of, or the most brutal death scene in the movie, like the knife stabbing you through the curtain and dragging down your back. So the question is, what was it like filming that scene and how long did it take to apply that humongous scar to your back?
Yeah, the scar was like 3 hours lying face down, naked, except for they had a towel on my, you know, my nether regions. And I was really sick. I had the flu, really sick, like 102 fever sick. And my mom actually drove up. She took a bus up. No limo for her. And she
came up. Oh, peasants.
She came up because she was really worried about me. And we're very close. We were best friends our whole life. So she came up and and we filmed at night. So I just was taking Tylenol and just trying to get through it. You know, that was the best I could. I wouldn't call it fun at all. And falling out of the shower, and they had a mattress down for me. So I actually had to do that fall out of the shower onto the mattress and just the timing and the water. I don't remember the water being ice cold. I think it was okay. It was lukewarm. And then they threw the, you got to make up a song to be humming and it can't be anything we know. Huh. I'm like, okay, I'm delirious, you know, with the flu.
I did notice, because I was like, when we rewatched it recently and probably the 100th time or whatever, and I was almost going to ask you, like, was that an actual song? But it makes sense that you can't actually hum a real song. So you just kind of made that up on the spot.
I had to make it up. And then also, I don't know if you can see, some people have said they can, that I was wearing a half bathing suit in the shower scene. I think if you look really closely, you might catch a glimpse of it, because we had a no nudity clause in the contract. And when I got up there, they said, you know, we keep seeing the bathing suit. Do you feel comfortable taking it down? And I was a hard no, because they wanted to show my boobs, but if it slipped or something, and I didn't want to take a chance, not that I didn't trust them, but you don't 100%. My manager was like, no, absolutely no, if they ask, because they're going to ask.
Yeah. That's so funny. We may not be the most reliable people to ask as two gay men. We probably we probably weren't staring at the boobs as much as the guys in the which is funny. So wait, they had a no nudity clause for the women, but like every guy is naked skinny dipping?
Robert was ahead of his time, because you didn't have any naked women there. Just him, just the guys.
I love it. I think, well, first off, it's going to take years for the horror genre to catch up in terms of male nudity to female nudity. So it was great that in 1983.
Yeah. And the guys were in like crop tops, and like the guys in those shorts.
There's I know.
So I was going to ask, this is my favorite question. Was there like a red carpet premiere, a cast and crew screening of Sleepaway Camp?
I think we had a screening, but I don't remember a big premiere or anything, because in those days, I don't think you did it for sort of low budget movies. But I do remember we all went to the screening, and I remember, I'm not sure if the movie was going to play where we screened it, but I remember there was a giant poster on the wall outside in glass. And of course, being a New Yorker, as you do, everybody left and kind of looked around. I just slipped the poster out and I thought, I'm taking this home, and I have it framed on the wall today.
Shoplifter.
You are a shoplifter.
Oh no.
You learned nothing.
Oh, you're going to have to rewatch Portrait of a...
That's hilarious.
But I skipped the part where I asked permission, actually.
Of course.
What was it like seeing it on the big screen?
Oh, incredible. I mean, it was, of course, you know, as we do as an actress, you criticize, you look at how you look first before anything. But I did feel like I overacted a little bit, but it's what he wanted. And once it all got put together, it all made sense that we were all sort of acting sort of on the same level. The tone had to be the same, all of us. And yeah, it was thrilling. And the kills, the special effects, because I hadn't seen any of that, was incredible.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and then what is the theater's reaction at the end in the big reveal? And I know I keep asking it just because it's still shocking to audiences today. So I'm just wondering, what is the cast and crew doing in the very first time they see this reveal?
Oh, definitely everybody gasped, because you when seeing it like that, everybody was just screaming and gasping. And I think other times when I went to see the movie taking family and friends, people were just yelling, going, no way. Oh, my God. No. What? So And even when I showed this, I showed the film to my son, actually, who's 20 now, Jack. He also, both my kids are actors, Madeline and Jack Coughlin. And he loved horror films like you guys from the time he was little. And I think I showed it to him and his friends when they were about 12, maybe 13. And they all sat there at the end and went, huh? Like, they didn't get it. It took them a minute. I said, think about it. And then when they got it, they were just screaming.
It really is, because story-wise, it's good that they have the flashback to crazy Aunt Martha kind of like giving you a little explanation, but it's just so, what I love about it is that, yes, it's a great slasher film, but it has such a twist that I have never seen done in any movie at any time.
No.
Such a crazy thing that you weren't expecting. And you're right, well, the very first time I saw it, like, because you're sitting there watching Aunt Martha say, like, oh no, we can't have another girl. It has to be a boy. And then, but then you're like, wait, what did I just see? Is that Aunt? Oh my God. You know, so.
Right. It's just because it's not what you expect. I mean, yeah, you kind of think maybe she's the killer, but then when you see that ending, you don't expect that. It's such a twist.
Yes.
So, and for then in the 80s, think about that. That was a big deal to do.
Absolutely. There was no male nudity anywhere.
No.
Well, male nudity, any sort of, I don't even know if transgender was a word or if there was any sort of.
I know, but for me, I grew up in the ballet world. So I was, I grew up with everybody, you had, I guess, transgenders there, but there was no name for them, who guys and girls and, it was all, I grew up with everything. So I was thrilled with the ending of the movie. It's great.
And I guess I kind of know the answer to this before asking, but I'm still going to ask it. Like, did you ever think that it would become such a cult classic, like that you'd be talking about it 38 years later?
Never. I ran from it, to be perfectly honest, for a long time, because I was a serious dramatic actress. I wanted to continue. I did another horror film after that, but then I was like, no more. And I did have offers for others. I should have taken them, but I just didn't, I wanted to do, 1 hour dramas and movies. And I did, I did a lot of stuff and kind of ran from it. I really didn't talk about it. I didn't answer fan mail. I just didn't want to do cons. And then when Felissa got in touch with me years ago, she said, do you understand? Cause I had kids and I was raising my kids and they were actors and, managing them. And then when Felissa contacted me through Facebook, and we got in touch again, she said, I don't think you understand what's going on. And I was like, I don't know what this con thing is. I don't want to do it. She goes, just come to one. And then my manager, Mike Perez as well, said, he called me and it's like, just come to one and see. And when I came downstairs and there's a line of people waiting to meet me. I had no idea. I can't believe it. I still can't
believe that story.
That is such a heartwarming story. First off, thank you. A shout out to Mike Perez because
he's the best.
He's been very, very helpful and supportive of the podcast. But that's the thing that we've heard from people. It's like sometimes people don't know the level of fandom there is in the horror genre and how, I think it's easy to assume, oh, people that love horror movies, oh, they must be creepy. You know what I mean? But it's like a lot of people are just really dedicated fans and absolutely love these people like yourself who did such great, memorable performances in the movies we love.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of horror film directors that credit Sleepaway Camp with sort of setting them on a course to direct horror. And I've met them and when they find out who I am, let's say my kids are working with somebody or something and they're like, who's your mom? What? Your mom played Meg? And they're like, what? They're like, that made me want to direct horror films. And so I'm so proud of it. And I'm grateful for it always.
Yeah, and we as fans are grateful for people like yourself and Felissa and other people who are just like really
embrace
the characters and embrace the movies. And I would totally understand, like, when you're first starting in the business, of course, like thinking, maybe I'll try to move into something else, but at least it's kind of like a resurgence. A lot of films from the 80s and 90s that people are realizing had such cult followings. And
just out of curiosity, at any point did you take it off your resume and then put it back on?
I might have. I think I always had it on there, but nobody knew sort of what it was. And now it's front and center.
Hey, Sleepaway Kit. Well, it's funny you mentioned another horror movie, because as a horror movie podcast, we do want to mention Silent Madness, which came out last year, where you played a nice sorority girl named Jane. And we noticed, though, which is a great, so we love horror movie connections. Yes. We noticed that Paul DeAngelo, who played the head counselor Ronnie from Sleepaway Camp, was also in that movie. How did that happen? Did you both know you were auditioning?
I have no idea how it happened. Just there he was on set. I have no idea.
Did you say, oh my God, like Paul?
You know, I have a feeling I probably told him I had this audition and he called and like got an audition for it or something. I honestly don't know. It was just really weird. Really weird. But he's a lovely guy. He's a lovely
guy. Should have played his brother and that blonde was your sister. I didn't buy it.
I don't know. Yeah, it was all... But I was playing the piano for real in that. A little shout out to my mom. I was playing the piano for real in that. I was playing Furlies because my mom was a pianist. So I could still, I can't play anymore, but I played, all through my childhood and early adulthood. And then working with Vivica Lindfors, who was in it, was, you know, iconic. She was amazing. I didn't really know who she was, but my parents did. And they were so excited. So excited. I was just happy not to get killed again in it.
Yeah, you survived and you played like, and that was it. Yeah, like it was great because you, I think, we just watched it. And I think because you find Ronnie, I'm going to keep calling him Ronnie.
Yeah,
like
your
sister dead. And then you like are brought to safety. So I think you may be the only sorority girl who survives.
I know. So thrilling.
How did it feel switching from playing like a villain in Sleepaway Camp to, I guess, a survivor in that one?
A good girl. Yeah. She was kind of a nerdy good girl. And yeah, I mean, not as exciting, but
it was in 3D.
Yes. But do you know that when it came out, didn't come out in 3D?
What?
Okay. Because I had some questions. I was like, there were things that were very 3D pushing, but then I was like, you know, I thought I'd heard of every 3D movie.
No, didn't come out in 3D. No. I was like, oh my God. And it just sort of disappeared after that. I don't know what happened. I don't get it.
Theater? Was there a premiere?
I don't remember if there was a premiere, but I did see it in the theater, but it didn't make sense because the things that are shooting at you and everything, it's not in 3D. So nobody went. I think I went. The theater was empty. I think it was just me and my boyfriend at the time.
Oh, I think it's a great movie.
So you were watching in Silent Madness.
Good one.
I'm working on that one. So one more horror connection for you. Please. So read and watched in 2014, you were in a supernatural thriller called The Occupants, where you played the ghost of a mother who I think was beaten to death by her husband. But here's the thing. The husband was played by Toby Huss, who played Jamie Lee Curtis's son-in-law in the most recent Halloween film from 2014.
No way.
Yeah, so Halloween. Well, actually, if you see my shirt, I'm wearing a Halloween. It says Halloween safety shirt with Michael Myers and Laurie Strode.
I'm just wearing Ralph Lauren.
Obviously we love those. Yes, so he was in the recent Halloween, but so what was Toby like to work with, and any stories from that movie? Or
he was intense. He was like a serious actor, like very well. It was I think I filmed for 3 or 4 nights. It was night shoots, and I hadn't done night shoots since I was a kid, and it was so hard because you start at like 5 p.m. and finish at like 7 a.m. So not
and in full makeup. You had full like ghost makeup.
Full ghost, like zombie makeup, because I had been killed but with an axe. So shooting that scene over and over again was not easy either. But he was very serious actor, which I loved. And the lead actress in this, I forgot her name, but she's kind of blowing up quite a bit.
I know who you're talking about. And she was just in the movie Palm Springs with Andy Samberg.
Yes,
which I think
yes.
was nominated for Golden Globes.
An Oscar, yeah. I think.
Yeah, she's a theater actress from New York. She was wonderful. And it was not an easy shoot. The house was in Malibu. It was freezing inside and there were night shoots and a lot of makeup. So it wasn't the most fun, but I'm glad I did it. You know,
Toby wasn't talking the entire time about, God, I got to be in the next Halloween movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did a commercial with Jamie Lee Curtis for Activia yogurt. Yeah. If you look it up, you'll find it I forgot the commercial site. But it's, we did it about 5 years ago, and we're supposed to be best friends, and we're roller skating and blading together and talking about Activia. And it was great. And she didn't know my horror film background at all. I just was random audition that I got cast in. I didn't know I was doing the commercial with her either till I got on set. But we ended up friends. She's great.
That is amazing. Yes, big fans of Jamie Lee Curtis and big fans of Activia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Activia. Well, you know, so you said you've been to horror conventions.
Yes, you went to horror conventions. I was just wondering, like, since you went to one, like, so now you embrace them. Do you like going?
Yeah, I love going. I just started. So I think I just about a two-year anniversary now. Well, COVID year doesn't really count, but I've probably done 6 or 7 of them, and everybody is so lovely. Like, I can't believe how much you affect them with what you did, your movie. And they're so, it's so nice to meet them and hear their story of when they first saw it, and there's kids coming and they're seeing it. And I love it. I can't wait to get back out there and meet more people. And I'm just so, so thrilled to be able to talk to people about it now, you know.
And I'm guessing you've made friends with the people in the sequels, Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3.
I don't know them, but I'll meet them.
Who do you see most from Sleepaway Camp there? I mean, Felissa, obviously, but do
Felissa.
You see
that? I go everywhere. Yeah, I go with
Felissa. Okay. Do you see like Jonathan Tiersten or Karen Fields or the guy they got to show his penis at the end?
I actually grew up, and I don't think anybody knows this either. I grew up with one of the guys in the film, he's changed his name. So Loris is his first name, but he's a big fashion designer now. And he was in the film. I think he might've gotten it with the bees.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And we grew up together. So we're still friends. And then Felissa and then Jonathan come to some cons, but Felissa and I are super close, like sit up and talk all night, girlfriends in pajamas close. Like just, yeah, she's just the best. And Karen, who played Judy, only came to one con in Florida, but she wants to do more. So hopefully, yeah, it was great to get back in touch with her again. I love her too.
What's the most common thing people say to you at the cons? Is it just quoting you, or have what's the craziest thing or they've asked you at these cons?
The craziest thing I think is they want, well, about Mel, but they want me to say the name is Meg, M-E-G. That's her. The one they wanted to say a lot and write on pictures and stuff. But yeah, they just want to hear stories of the filming and they just want to talk how much they loved it. So
that's awesome.
I mean, I saw it in 1999. I was a little late too. And I watched it on video randomly. I think it's a very eerie movie. It's like the music and everything.
Yeah. I think so.
And the kids are such bullies. I think you're a little bit of a bully in it, but you scared me.
I scare myself.
It is really funny though. But and also again, so many reasons why it was ahead of its time, but also not many movies had the, like, I guess balls, I'll say, to kill kids. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Like when they find, you know, when there's the sleepover in the woods, and then the counselor comes back and like all the kids are massacred.
Yes. And then how they killed a lot of them. Some of the kills were truly disgusting.
Yeah.
So the curling iron. Well, when has that ever been done?
You or Karen Fields, I'd say, with the curling iron.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah. When Karen came up a couple times, when she came to one con, they wanted her to sign some curling irons. People came with curling irons. Oh, creepy.
That's so funny though. I mean, hopefully she just like laughs at that, because that's so funny.
She does. Yeah, she's great. So
we have just one more question for you. Okay. And we ask this to everyone in our interviews at the very end. And it's funny because you've already kind of told us a few of these tidbits, but we ask to everyone, what is one thing you can tell us about your experience working on Sleepaway Camp that you've never told any other interviewer, any other con interviewer, any podcast,
Felissa,
publication? Just one thing. It could be like the tiniest little thing to happen behind the scenes or something you've never told anyone about filming Sleepaway Camp.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is that I was dating two of the boys at the same time there.
Second one.
I won't say.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay. But one of them was Thomas Vandel.
Yeah. We're talking dating when you're 18 and you're just, you know, you're more like best friends, you know, and it wasn't long. It was a few weeks. So.
And it wasn't Mel.
I promise you it wasn't Mel. No. But I guess that was sort of the only thing. Yeah, I can't think of anything else really. I mean, yeah, that was about it for me.
Good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Look, when you're 18, are you kidding? I think you can date as many people as you want.
Yes.
Exactly. That's the time to do it.
I've got a question. Were you on set the day all those boys got naked in? Well, they were men.
Yeah.
Did you get?
I don't think I was on set that day, you know? Oh. Just missed the good one, but you know.
Missed the skinny dipping scene. Well, look, it has been such a pleasure chatting with you, Catherine. Seriously, you've been amazing, so sweet, and so many great stories. Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad. You guys are great interviewers and such beautiful, positive energy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you guys so much. What a great show.
Thank you. Seriously. And we'll keep in touch and make sure you know when the episode's coming out. And yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. Bye. Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and through our website, happyhorrortime.com.
If you haven't already, please like and follow Happy Horror Time page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
We love hearing from our listeners, so if you want to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. You can tell us what you like about the podcast, give us movie recommendations, interview suggestions, or dating advice for Tim.
Oh, Matt. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime to sign up. Patrons get access to our growing library of bonus episodes where we look back at old horror films, popular franchises, and other fun stuff.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you've had a happy horror time.